the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm getting there too. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from the triune God. Amen. You know, I just have to make a comment before I start. I think I always knew it, and maybe I've heard this before, but it really hit me today as I was listening to Peter read the first reading, that cheese curds are actually the food of the angels. I kind of knew it, but it's here. So, sharing a piece is a strange thing. Is it a social thing? Is it a biblical thing? Why do we do it? What's going on? Well, thanks for the questions. I'm glad you asked me. Throughout the summer, as some of you know, I've taken some time to talk about things that happen within worship and dive into maybe why they're there and why part of our time together. So before we jump into what the passing of the peace is, I think we should clarify what the sharing of the peace is not. First, it's not church halftime. There will not be a special show that happens during it. It's not a break that some people like to think it is in worship. I know things can get a little bit long. I can get a little wordy and roll up, ramble on and on, as I usually, never mind. I know our backs get sore and we need a little stretch time, and sharing the peace does help in that. But that's not what it is. There is a spiritual and historical precedent for it, but I'll get to that in a bit. It's not just a casual greeting time that I think for some people that's what it becomes. It's natural to ask someone, "Hey, how's everything going? Hey, I knew you were sick last week. You feeling a little better?" That's not this time. It's not the "how are things going" time. And it is not a time to ask others. Sometimes I think it's appropriate, but it's not really the time to say, "Hey, did you guys see the baseball game yesterday? What did you think of that? I wasn't sure on that call." Or, "Did you watch the WNBA All-Star game yesterday? It was pretty good if you didn't." Did you see it? No, there are things that, all of these things are things that kind of take our hearts and our minds away from the worship service itself. It's not even a time to welcome visitors, though it can be in a special way. Since it is part of worship, our hearts really should maintain its focus on God and the work God is doing among us. So if it's not intermission, if it's not a casual greeting time, then what is it? So, as I already stated, it's a part of our worship service. We gather each week to worship the living and loving and eternal God. Our worship is always directed at God. At least it should be. We sing praises to God as the only one who is truly worthy worthy of our praise. We offer our prayers of praise and thanksgiving, recognizing that God's power has no limits. We confess our sins, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and we hear the words of God's forgiveness spoken to each and every one of us. Then we hear some Bible passages and sing some songs, and the pastor rambles on for a little bit. And because we have been reconciled with God, we greet one another with signs of peace, which reminds us that because we have been reconciled or made right with God, we have also been called into unity and fellowship with one another. From Ephesians 2, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Now, I'm not suggesting there is hostility between us, but it is a way of bringing us together. And in doing this, we're not turning that attention away from God, but rejoicing in what God has done in us, both as an individual, but as a larger group. The formal family greeting has its roots in the early church as they sought to fulfill the often repeated command to greet one another with a holy kiss. There are a bunch of passages. First Corinthians 16. All the brothers and sisters send greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss. Or from Romans 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I'll be honest, St. Paul kind of likes the whole kissing thing. It's in there a lot. But before you start to freak out and now think that pastor's going to have us kissing one another, don't worry about it. Ain't going to happen. You're welcome. There's a commentary in a study Bible that talks about this. In particular, 1 Corinthians text states, like some other practices with symbolic meanings that change from culture to culture, a holy kiss would not convey the same meaning today that it did in the first century. And in most cultures, it would be seriously misunderstood. Such commands are best obeyed by substituting an action, such as a handshake, a hug, or a bow. I will add a fist bump. Varying by the culture, that would convey the same meaning in a modern context. So no, you don't have to start kissing people. We greet one another as members of this body of Christ. As we do, we are fulfilling the culturally adjusted biblical command to greet one another with affection. Paul issued the command for the greeting of a holy kiss because they were members of God's family, ones whom God had called out of darkness. And think about it. Sometimes within our immediate family, we kiss each other in greetings. Our passing of the peace is kind of to remind us of this family connection that we have. Passing of the peace is also a time to be reminded of any reconciliation that really still needs to be done. Granted, working through differences between relationships, it takes a little time. And the limited time we have is really not good for the deep work. Grandma, what did you do now? How dare you? I baptized her. She's kind of special to me, I'm just saying. However, if you have had a fight that were spoken or done as a way to start to acknowledge that we need to make this work. This time is a weekly reminder that we all live in community, and we are called, according to 2 Corinthians, to rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. This verse immediately precedes one of the commands to greet one another with a holy kiss. In visiting other congregations, in particular when I was doing two worship services in Minneapolis right after Easter, I noticed that sharing of the peace for both of these churches came at different times. One of them did it right at the beginning of the worship, and if you paid attention, it was connected to confession and forgiveness, which, if you remember what confession and forgiveness is all about, it makes sense to do it at that time. Traditionally, we here and at the other church I went to do it later in the worship service after the offering, but in particular before Holy Communion. It helps us to prepare us to receive Holy Communion. We come to the table as a body of Christ, and we are called to live in harmony with one another. This means we deal with our differences promptly, according to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and not to allow grievances to grow into this long-held grudge that we're really good at doing. Finally, our passing of peace is a reminder of the common greeting that Jesus gave to his disciples. Remember, right after his resurrection, as the disciples gathered in the upper room together and were scared, and Jesus comes among them, and the first thing he says is, remember? Peace be with you. I mean, he had said to them that he was going to leave them, but he was going to leave his peace with them. The disciples were kind of bothered about that, just as we get a little anxious at the idea of being left alone in difficult times. But Jesus reminds his anxious disciples that Jesus' peace was with them and will be with them until the end of time. Following Jesus' example, we remind one another that Christ's peace is with us, even in our crazy, challenging, uncertain lives. So, how do we do it? Well, first, keep it short. We're pretty good at that. I've seen some congregations that it lingers for a really long time. I'm grateful that we are eager to visit with one another. Passing the peace is a reminder of what God has done for us in Christ, and that his presence is still among us. This should provide a little relief from those of us, me, who are introverts. We don't have to make a whole lot of small talk. You're welcome. You just say, the peace of Christ be with you, or peace be with you. And if you can look them in the eye, do so. And be reminded that if they are in Christ, and they are, you are brothers and sisters together. I encourage you to focus on what it is. You are speaking peace to others. It's a powerful thing to be able to do. It is a reminder of what Christ has done and is continuing to do in the greater church. Maybe the person who you are greeting here is having some internal struggles or some hardship, but have no desire to share right now. I mean, we all have those days. They need to be reminded of God's love among them, us, spoken to them, peace be with you. Sharing of peace is something more than just checking in with a person sitting next to you. It's about the powerful words that Jesus says to his disciples and reminding them that they are never alone. And what's more powerful than that? That we are given this gift and we get to share it with others. Peace be with you. Thanks be to God.